The information where unknown forces strike the edge of ecology.
Well, good evening. Nice to see you all. Thank you for coming. Well, sadly, you have to put up with me all evening tonight. I do apologise for that, but you've shown up, so I'll take that as a slight vote of confidence. I was going to say you can walk out, but you probably can't actually. So you're in, I'm sorry about that. If you get hot and stuffy, which you probably are, but you can always open a window at the back if you need to, but if you're happy and already cold, then you won't need to. So number one, the important announcements, apples. If you want a free apple, John has very kindly brought a whole box of apples. And they're there for the taking. So yeah, so a round of applause for them. This is getting us ready for the post-apocalyptic sort of way of living, you know, when this might be all we're eating in a few months' time. My God! Yes, Adam, as well. That's true, yes, because post-apocalypse, we're going to be round your apple yard, as it were. Well, what can we say? Well, number one, thank you to anybody who came to the 9/11 day on Saturday. It was brilliant. The speakers probably weren't, but we all enjoyed it. It was a good day, good turnout. Hopefully those that came, I get the feeling we were largely preaching to the converted, but the converted came out feeling even more converted, hopefully. It was good revision. But there were one or two who were new to it, and yes, certainly... I think it achieved its purpose of just getting people questioning. Because obviously with all the commemorative stuff that's been on the TV, there's so much misinformation. I mean, if you watch the BBC now about anything, you're being lied to. The BBC are the biggest liars out. And I'm going to prove that point to you in just a moment. There's something on the screen. And their coverage of 9/11 conspiracy theories has been... at best disingenuous, at worst deceitful, and incredibly misleading. Their Conspiracy Files programme managed to miss out all of the key evidence as to why people questioned the official story of 9/11. They used all the typical, what they call the straw man arguments. And then BBC Three did their marvellous show where they managed to convert a conspiracy believer to believe in the real story. But is that the real story? Because in fact many people believe it isn't. And there's a lot of intrigue and other true stories behind the making of that programme, which are all on the internet if you want to hear the truth behind it. So anyone's interested can see me later on. Oh yeah, so we might be letting one or two extras in. Hello, do come in. There's one or two seats here. Do come in. For those of you who... has anybody seen the Sky 9/11 discussion programme? Has anybody seen Sky 200? I thought, yeah, thank you. If you haven't, because you, like me, don't get Sky, you can either rely on good people like Marcus to take it for me, thank you, or it's now up on YouTube. The show is going to be released as DVD, number one, because they feel it contains a lot of material people need to see. But if you don't want the DVD, if you go onto YouTube and just put Edge Media and whatever it is, 9/11 Inside Job, you're going to find it. And if anybody's curious, I can give you the exact link later on. So all 2.5 hours of it, minus the adverts, so you don't have to watch the adverts. I know some people don't like to hear about 9/11, but I make no apology for keep bringing it up, because it's one of the key events in our recent human history, and I'm sorry, but the official story simply doesn't hang together. So I'm glad to have done my bit, at least, in doing something to get the word out there, and lots of other people have been as well. And it's just interesting to note that at the last polls taken just in the last few weeks, over 50% of the world's population no longer believes the official story of 9/11. So there we go. If you doubt it, we're in the majority. Majority of people think about that. That's a lot of people around the world who believe they're being lied to. So we live in interesting times. And if you do believe the official story, good luck to you. Right. Meanwhile, however, of course, with Bin Laden having gone, we now have Mr. Gaddafi has taken the Bin Laden role, isn't he? He's going to be probably the big ogre in the background that they can use as the new threat. But bearing that in mind, I want to just flick a couple of lights off here. Let's lead straight to something I really want to show you here. Some of you will have seen this. This went out on TV a few weeks ago, this purported to show you Green Square in Tripoli This is the fall of Gaddafi. So the rebels, whoever they are, have managed to make their way into the city. And here we see people celebrating the downfall of Gaddafi in Green Square in Tripoli. Now you can see this is BBC live, live pictures. Until a number of people said, yeah, but it's a bit weird though, what's this flag? It doesn't look much like the Libyan flag, and these people look sort of more sort of Indian. Shall we have a look at that flag close up? Let's have a look at that flag.
Can we just ask the lady in the front?
Oh, sorry, could you remove your head? if you move along, you can't really go. So here's the flag. It's the Indian flag. Do you want to see the Libyan flag? In case you're doubting that the BBC lies, there's the Libyan flag. Now, these are pictures, it now transpires, from an event in India a couple of years back. It's not an accident. Because how can you accidentally broadcast alleged live pictures from Tripoli when in fact you must have sent somebody down into the archive somewhere in the BBC to find footage that looks a little bit like it could be Libyans if you're not concentrating? That can't be an accident. Exactly the same thing happened on 9/11, you may remember, when after the towers had come down, do you remember they broadcast live footage of Muslims dancing in the street? Remember that one? You probably don't. That was also a lie. That was footage from about 5 years previously that the BBC also dug out of the archives and broadcast as live pictures. They're still doing it. The BBC is a propaganda machine. The only decent thing it does is make Doctor Who now. Do not trust anything the BBC says, and that is all the evidence you need. They were challenged, there were complaints, there has been no explanation, there has been no apology, but they did withdraw the film, and it's never been broadcast since. But you see, it did what it needed to do. It was programming the world to think that Gaddafi was falling. Now, if you don't like Gaddafi, fine, he's obviously not a very nice man. But it was propaganda, you see, to make you think, oh, right, he's had it, and they knew that would ripple around the world. But they're doing it by manipulation. It's got nothing to do with the truth, okay? So be very wary what you see on the TV, okay, because there are really serious issues going on. So that's been a serious start to the evening. We'll come to some more fun, paranormal stuff now, if you believe it's paranormal, of course. And I'm not going to tell you what to think tonight. You can think what you want about crop circles, which we will come to shortly. Let's say something about Comet Elenin. So, does anybody not know what the Comet Elenin mystery is about? Yeah, one or two. Okay, let me. You should know, shame on you. Right, I'm going to enlighten you. Comet Elenin, you see, is a comet, would you believe? But it's not really a comet. Because according to the world of conspiracy theory, it's the planet Nibiru. Or Nibiru, as they say on some programs. And Nibiru is the lost planet of the Sumerian myths and legends, which has allegedly been on a very long elliptical orbit for many years. And the gods who seeded mankind, according to some interpretations of the Sumerian legends, still live on Nibiru. And when Nibiru comes back into our solar system, not only is it going to cause havoc with gravitational effects and weather and goodness knows what, the gods might also still be there. And given that the gods created us, allegedly, as a slave race through genetic manipulation, they may want us back. So the first interplanetary war may be coming your way very soon. If it's true! But you see, a lot of people are saying, aha, well, this new comet Elenin, it's Nibiru, and it's here, and they've been covering it up. Unfortunately, most of the evidence to support this is really terrible. And you know me, I'm very open-minded. There are some seats somewhere in the corner, by the way. Believe it or not, if you can make your way down there, there are some seats over there. Or you can sit in the corner of the front. Be very, very careful what you hear about Nibiru, because there are people putting up shots on the internet of the moon, out of focus, saying, it's Nibiru! Like we wouldn't have noticed a planet that big in the sky. And don't forget, most discoveries are made by amateur astronomers these days, okay? And you can't keep them quiet if they see a new asteroid or something. The word goes around in a flash. So the notion that there is a planet now which is supposedly very, very large and in our solar system doesn't really add up. because it would be the best cover-up ever, because not only would they have covered up knowledge of it, but they would have covered it up physically in the sky, because otherwise we would all be seeing it. However, nonetheless, many people believe Comet Elenin, which is now pretty much broken up and turned to not very much, is going to be, is it November, I think, November, it comes to its full power and the world ends or something again. But don't worry, because it's the rapture next month, don't forget, in October. Remember the delayed rapture? The man announced it was a rapture, and then when it didn't happen, and lots of people had sold their houses and everything, he said, ah, well, that's because God spared you the tribulation and the run-up to the rapture. So, delayed rapture, or as Gilbert Sullivan say, modified rapture. So the rapture's next month, so if you've been very, very good and devout, you will be bodily lifted up into heaven by this time next month, all being well. Right. So it could happen. And who are we to mock beliefs? Because we're about to show lots of pictures of pretty pictures in the fields that most of the world thinks is a load of rubbish. And yet you've all turned up to talk about it. So it's all relative, isn't it? John, did you wish to say something at that point?
Also, the predicted, well, the return of Pakal Botan, the Mayan chap.
Oh, yes, yes, that's another candidate, isn't it?
Being Mayans, they actually say which day, so October the 26th.
Fantastic. I think that it's only a day or so after the rapture.
I couldn't comment.
I think the rapture, isn't it the 20th or something? Anyway, well, there we go. Well, then, wait, see, now, this is the time that we live in.
Brightest on the 16th.
Say again, I'm sorry?
Brightest on the 16th, from the Nexus.
What is
needed? The comet.
Oh, the comet! Oh, the comet, well, well. There we go. If it's in Nexus, it is obviously true.
Yeah.
This is marvellous.
Tell you. Thank you, Andy.
Right. Talking of Nexus, when's the new Nexus out?
Yeah, middle of next week.
Next week, you can read a very good article in Nexus by somebody all about the crop circles of this year.
Who's that?
Me. but of course, you won't need to read it because you would have been here tonight. But yes, there is the annual roundup.
But you'll also read a very interesting article about the real reason for Gaddafi's downfall.
Oh, jolly good.
It was to do with money. The fact that he was about to create an African bank. But you'll read it in Nexus next week.
Well, the irony of the whole Gaddafi thing is that he's obviously, let's put this bluntly, a bit of a twat and a bastard, all right? Let's get this over with. But it is also true he put in more social changes in Libya than had happened in all the time before him that was actually very good. And some of the reforms that he was bringing in socially and politically were actually the best thing they've had. And now it's all gone backwards because NATO have moved in to correct its trajectory. And David Cameron's going to make a speech tomorrow saying they're going to correct lots of other countries now. He's so pleased with the way it's gone in Libya. We're going to go out into the world and do it to every repressive regime. So will they be coming here for themselves, I wonder? I don't know. So we do live in very strange times, don't we? Talking of strange times and conspiracy theories, if you have, how much is, I can't remember how much it costs to get in, but if you have whatever, a few quid.
10 quid.
10 quid? What a cheap at the price. And you want to hear conspiracy theories being debunked for a whole day by some of the leading humanists in the country, go to Red Lion Square, Conway Hall. The Humanist Society has arranged a whole conference about conspiracy theories and why people believe in them. However, this is one with a difference, because the people they've invited are people like Dr. Karen Douglas, no relation to the old crop circle one, different one, who apparently has gone on the record as saying anybody who believes in conspiracy theories is clinically insane. So there's a lot of mad people in this room tonight. And also, one of the big names has pulled out, David Aronovich, who of course is well known for being on every TV programme debunking all of this, was their big star speaker, but he's apparently pulled out. But we do have Professor Chris French, the rent-a-skeptic, who is on every programme ever when they need a skeptic. Marcus and I, we were with Chris French a few years ago on the Esther Ransom show, weren't we? And chatting to Chris French in the green room, it was very interesting because it turned out when we were chatting, it was about crop circles, that particular one. He had never been into a crop circle and he knew nothing about them. But I mean, he was still happy to go on the TV and tell everyone why we were wrong to believe in them. So it's a funny business, you see, being a skeptic. However, an interesting development has occurred, because Ian Crane, who some of you would have seen, of course, on Saturday here, down below, has somehow blacked his way into giving a talk there to give the opposite side of the story. Now, I don't know how he managed to swing this, but anyway, somehow he has. So instead of David Aronovich, they've got Ian R. Crane, which is very, very interesting. So now it's sounding like it might be an event worth actually going to, if I could really be bothered. But so if you are curious to hear more about that, well, no chances on Sunday. Crop circles. Let's get on to crop circles. Did anybody... There was a few, you know, newspaper reports, as there always are in the summer. But there was one particular one that was quite interesting. Physics World. Does anybody here read Physics World? No? Nor do I. Well, apparently in Physics World, Richard Taylor, director of the Materials Science Institute at the University of Oregon, has decreed that he accepts that perhaps not all crop circles are made by men with planks of wood. Okay, now that's quite a big Physics World, let's not sniff at this. However, the alternative explanation is, he said, well, I'll quote you. According to Taylor, physics could potentially hold the answer, with crop circle artists possibly, note that word, possibly using global positioning systems, as well as lasers and microwaves to create their patterns. Dispensing with the rope, planks of wood, and bar stools that have traditionally been used. I've never heard anybody say that they've used a bar stool, so there we are, I've learned something immediately. Microwaves, Taylor suggests, could be used to make crop stalks fall over and cool in a horizontal position. A technique that could explain the speed and efficiency of the artists and the incredible detail that some crop circles exhibit. Indeed, note this next line, one research team claims to be able to reproduce the intricate damage inflicted on crops using a handheld magnetron, readily available in microwave ovens and using a 12-volt battery. Now, if I'm understanding this right, what they're suggesting is people are going into the fields with a device that they've somehow culled from their microwave oven. And presumably they're like holding this device out in front of them and the crops are falling down. Okay, that's how I'm understanding this. Except for, you would imagine it's probably easier to be accurate with a piece of wood and a piece of string. Because if you're actually beaming something, you imagine just holding it above. How the hell are you going to get A, above enough holding it to get a straight line? The more you start to think about this, the more nonsensical it becomes.
Stand on the bar stool.
Oh, yes, of course, you stand on the bar stool. Oh, well, that's a very good point, yes, you stand on the bar stool. But the more you read this, the more it falls apart. Because it's all assumption. Yeah, there are two seats over there. Yeah. It's all supposition. What I find very interesting, though, is that it does accept that you can't explain them all in a way that just, you know, standard hoaxing equipment, if you wish to call it that. And yet, the more you read it, it just doesn't make any sense. But it's acknowledging like the speed and the efficiency of the artist. And yet, the theory that they come up with is actually more complicated than the idea that there might be some other force at work. You know, so it's funny, isn't it, how physics... If you want to read this, I'll leave this on the table. There's the original story there printed out, and you can read it in full. So it is an interesting development, and it did pick up quite a lot of newspaper coverage, it must be said. So I guess we're going to talk about crop circles. Has anybody else got any interesting announcements, by the way, before we move on to looking at what's been going on? I'll take that as a no. So,
the comet's been blacked out on Google.
The comet's been blacked out on Google. Well, depending on what you believe.
Google Sky.
Depending on what you believe.
Yeah. Well, scan across the coordinates. It's not found. Now, whether that's manipulated or not, I don't know.
If I'm wrong about Comet Elenin, then it does kill us all.
Right.
I apologise. There we are. You can't be right about everything, can you?
Yeah.
Let's take the lights out. Now, somebody over there, right, maybe, could you flip that switch just hidden, just behind the tables there? Just sort of a little bit further up. Go one, no, no, to your right. That's it, you're so close. Right, up a bit, yeah. That's the one. Brilliant. It is like a going shot, isn't it? Oh, right, yes, I'm sorry. I was going to thank you. Right, I appreciate that. I was going to take a vote here. Do we need to... Can we just dive into this year's crop circles? Or does anybody need a brief refresher about the history of circles before we do that? Hands up, who wants a brief refresher on the history of circles first? Hands up, those who want to go straight to this year's formation. Okay, that's it. Goals for that. I'm really glad you said that. Good. Then we'll jump straight there. And we can get out of here earlier than we thought. Right. Okay, so, let's have a look. Number one, it's not been a great year for the circle. Let's make that clear now. You will probably be a little bit disappointed by the end of this. And this, of course, has caused much discussion. Where have the circles that we knew and loved of high quality gone? Well, there are some, as you will see. There have certainly been some very impressive ones. But in general, there certainly was a feeling that the true masterpieces had somewhat deserted us this year. Now, that doesn't mean there isn't anything of interest going on. And, of course, it raises questions. Because one of the things that a lot of people have been saying for years is that if you believe in the whole 2012 phenomenon, i.e. from the end of next year, we're going to see huge changes to the world, whatever may cause them. Many people have felt crop circles are anticipating or building us up to that time. Now, of course, there have been specific formations which have indeed showed things connected with 2012. So therefore, does it stand to reason that as we get near the year, that they are actually, if you like, showing us that suddenly they're going to just tail off? Because it's like, hey, listen, if you haven't come along now, you never will. And so it just goes back to a sort of a background. Now that's a possibility. Or is this a strange calm before the storm? And that when we get into next year, bearing in mind, the eyes of the world will be on Britain next year because of the Olympics, bang in the middle of the summer, will we get the best crop formations ever? And they're just kind of taking a breather. So there's been a lot of stuff going around. So of course, the sceptics this year have said, well, that is because, you see, the people that make them are bored, they're annoyed, they don't like people using their images without their permission. Now, they're quite happy to go and make them in a field without the farmer's permission, note, but they're getting arsy about it. And in fact, there have been like sort of emails going around from these people saying, well, we've had enough! We've had enough of people saying that they're made by aliens, and we're going to prove to you that they're not. But guess what? They haven't. And the interesting thing also, and I'm getting this out of the way now, because then we can get on with looking at the pictures. Curiously, they've always maintained that they know who makes all the circles. Right? Now, this is an old hoaxing claim. No matter who they were, they've always said, oh, we know. They never tell you who it is, bear in mind, but by implication, they know. And yet, it was very interesting, when this summer was very slow to start, and we weren't quite getting the quality we were used to, then they started to say, oh, look at this cheap rubbish appearing in the fields. And saying, well, you know, whoever these people are trying this year, they're not very good. And you go, aha, so you don't know who makes all the circles. Because suddenly the tone changed to like pointing the finger at the new circle makers as they perceive them and saying, you're not very good. But that then reveals that they haven't any more clue than you or I where these things are coming from. So I'm not going to load the dice. I'm going to show you what's appeared. I'll tell you whether I think I like something or not. But that doesn't mean that it's man-made or not man-made. It could be made by very, very poor aliens. Or, as some people maintain, and I'll show you an example of this, they might be incredibly sort of like specific patterns that aren't meant to be geometrically perfect. See, it's all about assumptions, isn't it? We're all making assumptions. So let's start. Let's get on with this. Right, so, here we go, in order. I'm going to show the UK first, and then I'm going to show you some of what happened around the rest of the world, as we usually do. So the year started, in fact, in Wales. Now that's an unusual place, not a well-known place for circles, but there we go. Chepstow, Gwent, 22nd of April. Certainly not the most amazing formation ever, but it's there. Pretty much on a par with most years, second, third week of April. But in fact, a little bit earlier than last year, which hadn't kicked off until May. So there was a feeling here that at least they were on time, even if it wasn't the most geometrically perfect formation that we'd ever had. Oilseed rape, of course, and I must say this every year, is a very difficult crop to flatten without smashing it to bits. You know, it has a consistency like celery. You start trying to bend that around and it breaks very easily. And yet, over the years, we've seen nearly 90 degree bends on rape stems. So this is always interesting to get a formation in it. Two more rape formations back at Alton Barnes, the famous place, of course, where so many have appeared over the years. 27th of April, and certainly very simple. A couple of little, sort of a comma and a full stop there. So they're getting into punctuation here. But you know, this is okay, simple stuff. That's okay for this time of the year. As you'll see, it sort of took longer than we hoped to really get seriously going. Oh, by the way, just a quick shot of the inside of that. One of those formations which is quite nice where the crop's fallen inwards. Can you see the crops actually swept inwards into the centre there? Which I think is rather nice to see. Okay, slightly better. Oh, I forgot the caption there, but I can tell you very obviously that it's near Silbury Hill, because there is Silbury Hill. For those slightly new to this phenomenon, bear in mind, if you map out where most of the crop formations of England have ever arrived, Silbury Hill seems to be the centre. And of course those that douse for earth energies and all of this will tell you it's one of the most powerful energy centres in the world, never mind the country. So perfectly apt to get formations here, and I think we can see a close-up of that. There we go. So a little bit better than the first one. And certainly, you know, the kind of thing you would expect to get of an April. So then into May. Hannington in Wiltshire, we had this formation here. Again, it's not the most geometrically perfect that we've had, but it was certainly a good old size, and you get a better sense of the scale there. And as I say, this is not an easy crop to flatten down very easily. So, and this is almost not there at all, is it? This is Cricklade, Wiltshire, 9th of May. So thin, and what's interesting is it seems to be slightly, well, it could just be the light, or it's slightly thicker on one side, but it's almost so thin there, you can barely see that it's there at all, so sort of nearly invisible circle. Another little circle here, Pitt in Hampshire, 16th of May, bearing in mind that before Wiltshire took over in the early 90s, some people forget this now, Hampshire used to be the centre of the crop circle phenomenon. You go back to old times and see how many used to appear around Winchester and Chesford Head and all of that area. And it's only in the last couple of decades that it sort of shifted to Wiltshire. So nice to get them back here. Again, just a simple circle. Once upon a time, of course, that's all we had. But, you know, by this point in the year, there was a sort of a fear sitting in, saying, well, yeah, this is all right, but you know, where's the really big stuff? But we were going to have to wait a bit for the really big stuff. So here is a formation again. Now, if you saw that in a book and you didn't know what year it was from, you would imagine this was about 1987. It's very typical of those early sort of ring circles when it was starting to get a little bit more elaborate and yet you know, not to what we've had in years since. So this is very much a throwback at East Kennet, 17th of May. I mean, I do admire certainly this very, very thin ring there. And it's pretty accurately laid. I mean, it's not an easy thing to do, to walk that accurately in a circle. So this is where, of course, it gets more interesting. Back to Pitt in Hampshire, 17th of May. Tiny little mandala here. I would imagine this is, looks to me from the stems, this is rapeseed.
where the flowers have already started to die off. I could be wrong, but it doesn't look like wheat or barley to me. Okay, this is reaching a little bit more towards, you know, the kind of stuff people like. Rawton, 22nd of May, and then you can see, you know, triangles, and, you know, this is a fairly sort of typical formation of its kind. In young green plants. Now, of course, old hands here will know, there's been a lot of evidence over the years that there are changes to the plants in many cases. So one of the things, that report I just read to you is trying to explain, is why there are biological changes occurring inside the circle flattened plants. And of course, one of the researchers, William Levengood, decreed it was microwaves being applied to the plants, making them pliable so they could be laid flat without damage occurring. And so we don't have anywhere near the amount of tests going on today because people have run out of money, time or enthusiasm, whatever. But when they were testing them, and they tested hundreds of formations, in the 1990s, they found that, you know, almost the majority of formations did have those effects in them. And yet, man-made formations have never shown those effects. So this is why they're trying to now come up with ways that people have been, you know, beaming microwaves into the fields. That's really got nothing to do with that formation. But as it comes to mind, I thought I'd say it then. Okay, well, there's Silbury again up there. And as you can see, this formation, it's near the sanctuary, near Avebury, 28th of May. And you can get a good sense of where it is in the landscape there. We can see it a little bit more closely. So quite a long formation. Interesting sort of staggered lines here. Almost like two South American step pyramids joined together. So finally things started to get going a little bit. At the end of May, 30th of May, at Hackpen Hill. And over the years we've had a number of these formations that seem to be almost sort of like optical illusions, playing with rings and crescents and stuff. Again, a very thin ring here. So that's more what people wanted, but we don't really want that, surely. Wilton, 1st of June, sort of cartoon snakes. And there was another sort of comedy snake, which I didn't include, that was so scrappy, it was so obviously a joke. Interestingly, however, I mean, why not a snake? Later on, you'll see, we've got a much more elaborate serpent-type design. And also, make a note of the little patterns on its back here, because you'll see later on there's a formation that almost looks like mirror writing. When, you know, you put the mirror down in the middle and then it reveals the real message. And it looks to me like there's something similar going on there. But if so, nobody's worked it out yet. But of course, other people were saying, we don't want snakes. We don't want silly snakes. We want really good mandalas. So there was a sort of a funny anxiety coming into the crop circle world at this point. Well, this was a little better, more sort of what people expect, but a little bit scrappy geometrically. This is Ashbury, Oxfordshire, 9th of June. So Oxfordshire, of course, has had many formations over the years. Probably, apart from Hampshire, sort of second to Wiltshire in terms of numbers. And here is another Hampshire formation, at King Somwan. On the 18th of June, this is sort of has a sort of an astronomical quality to it. I mean, what is remarkable, and what is, I think, very encouraging, when you go on to, say, Crop Circle Connect or one of these websites, and I will show you an example of this later, people turn these in to the most extraordinary diagrams, and they draw from them amazing information and astronomical maps and diagrams on virtually any formation. And they obviously mean things to the people that do these things. Now, proving that they found a match for something seems to be another matter. There's only a few astronomical formations we've had over the years where you can absolutely show what they're showing us. This seems to be rather more random, but it's interesting how they do inspire people. And obviously you can see they do look somewhat like sort of orbiting planets. Now, Lincolnshire is not a very well-known area for crop circles, but this year it managed to produce two or three interesting ones up at Wallaby on the 18th of June. And it's funny, isn't it? Because each year, you get another sort of area of the country that bursts forth with crop circles. Now last year, if you have good memories, there was a sudden revival of Yorkshire. And we had a whole series of Yorkshire formations, and people thought, ha-ha, they're back! Because back in the mid-90s, around Barnsley and Dodsworth and all those areas, they had a whole string of formations. Then it went quiet. But this year, nothing in Yorkshire. In fact, nothing in many counties that sometimes might get a few. But instead, a new county starts up. So suddenly we start getting them in Lincolnshire. I say new. I mean, they've had a few over the years, but certainly not very many. Gloucestershire, again, doesn't get many, but gets the occasional one. This is an Upper Coberly ring circle, by the look of it, 20th of June. When you get them outside of the main flight path areas, nobody wants to bother to pay to fly, so you never get to see any aerial shots of ones like this. But there we are. Now, this was more like it. This is at Lockeridge in Wiltshire, near Alton Barnes, 21st of June. So we're at the solstice. But as you can see, you know, at the solstice, and yet very few really good ones. But many people liked this one, you know, slightly Celtic feel to it. Although I will show you one in a minute, there's much more Celtic than that. By the way, I do apologise, I have a cold tonight, in case you're wondering why I'm speaking
do you
even
know
more strange.
What the crop is in there?
I would imagine the crop is wheat. For those that are wondering, has anybody sprayed it because it looks so white? People always ask, but it's just a reflective effect. When you fly above crop circles in certain lights, the stems, they act like a mirror, and they reflect the sunlight back, and they give you this very stark white effect. Stonehenge, 21st of June, same day. Well, it's certainly not the best of the formations we've ever had, but there we go. Stonehenge, of course, has played host to a number of very famous designs over the years. Now, this is one of those ones that you look at first and you don't think that much about it, but there's more to it than there looks. So this is down at Stanton St. Bernard, again, 21st of June, so the solstice. Actually, the solstice is often a busy time for circles. And it was again this year. But you can see here, if you look closely, there's a sort of an effect of a texturing. And the reason for that is that it was laid with texturing. There we go. And it's as if, instead of like a straight swirl, it's like something swished it about at lots of different angles. And you can just see how that works there. So sometimes there is a sculpted feel within the laid crop itself that you only see when you get very close. Honey Street, 26th of June. Honey Street, of course, is where the Barge pub is, where many crop circle people have hung out over the years. And of course, whenever you get a formation there, everybody says, well, that one's a hoax, because it's near the barge. But then there's another argument to that, you see, because at the back of the barge is a campsite, and many, many people, you know, into all of this camp there, and many of these things appear really close to the campsite. Nobody ever goes to sleep down there. There's people up till first light, you know, doing whatever they do, and often nobody sees or hears anything, which is interesting, because certainly when you see, well, if you ever see a man-made formation being made, as I have for TV, it's really noisy. You can hear the crunching on a quiet night. You can hear dogs barking 5 miles away. So it's an interesting phenomenon, therefore. Did anybody see the barge on the TV recently? There was a TV programme about how the community is trying to save the barge because it's been sold and nobody wanted to buy it, believe it or not. And so a community consortium has got together and they have bought the barge up and they're running it for the community. Incredibly, however, this programme managed to not mention crop circles until the very last of the 2 minutes, where it very briefly just caught a vague glimpse of crop circle pictures on the wall. Isn't that amazing? So the thing is best known for, not a mention, on, probably, the BBC. Yeah. I do believe. Funnily enough. Okay, Cricklay, 27th of June. Sort of standard swirly, simple mandala type thing. I'll show you a better flower of life type affair we had very soon. Again, sort of planets and orbits, a bit wobbly, annoyingly wobbly. We don't want wobbles. Some say something's testing our faith.
that they, the forces beyond, are deliberately including wobbles so that we then talk about it. And we are. So it worked. Well done. So this is Orlington, 28th of June. So again, you're right, there's all sorts of speculation about what this represents. I expect Nibiru comes into it somewhere. If you search the net far enough. Again, kind of an interesting sort of sunshine design. Wobbly again. Still at Orlington, 28th of June. Some nice little, what they call grape shop circles with little standing centres there, scattered at random across the field. And a spiral. They got into spirals over the next few days, as you'll see. This is at Childbury Hill, which is near Henton Parva. Most of these are in Wiltshire. 29th of June. It looks to me like the crop's quite young there. That's why it looks a little bit sort of unformed. So I don't know what crop that is, because if that is wheat, that's coming up very late. Might be something else. Now this is a throwback to kind of circa 1994, and we have a lot of sort of crescents and moons and suns and this sort of thing would not have looked out of place back then. So this is at Barbary Castle, where of course many famous formations have arrived near the ancient hill fort. So this is 2nd of July, but this is a better quality of, you know, geometrically speaking. It seems to sing more. And this is very interesting. So this is back in Lincolnshire again, at Walmsgate on the 3rd of July. And so you can see it's sort of like a flower of life and yet not quite gone mad. Good. So, you know, this is the thing. So those that say, well, old man, mate, you've got to presume somebody in Lincolnshire, therefore, presumably, thought, I'm going to start making formations. And so the second one that they make is that. I don't think so, because you see these man-made demonstrations, even by some of the alleged top bods, and some of them are rubbish. So this is why mystery remains. There's a close-up, by the way. Looks like it's very nicely made indeed. Okay, this is interesting. Back at Honey Street. 4th of July, Independence Day. And if you look, you'll see, this is what I mean about this mirror writing thing. So I wonder if you placed a mirror down there, if you're going to get a word or a message. Now, this wouldn't be the first time. Back in 1991, there was a famous formation. Well, a guy, an American chap, came over, and he was so frustrated that he felt that the crop circle makers weren't speaking clearly that he went into a field, much to a farmer's annoyance, I don't doubt, and stomped into the field with his feet the word, talk to us. And the very night that he did that, this strange sort of hieroglyphic script arrived in a field. And there has been so much speculation about what it means. Michael Green, president of the then Crop Circle, Centre for Crop Circle Studies, decreed it was Atlantean. And there were a whole, you know, long treatises on the different Tifinag, another lost sort of Norse language was another one, until somebody said, if you put a mirror up to this. And given that back in those days there was a very well-known researcher called Terence Meaden, who believed they were all made by the weather, when you put the mirror up, and whether this is coincidence or not, I don't know, it read, Meaden talks shit. So, you have to wonder what's going on here. Now, was it just accident that they happened to say that? Or was it just a running joke all along? So maybe we need to look more closely at this one. I don't know. Or it might be a very profound message. Because instead of Meaden talks shit, Michael Green said what the message read as was the creator wise and loving. Isn't that lovely? It's a crop circle. They can bring out two completely different sides of human nature. That's one of the most wonderful things about them. And that's why, for these people that get very het up about trying to prove they're all man-made, or even not man-made, it's almost like you're missing the point. It's what it draws out of people that matters. And they brought these things have brought people much closer to some other level of being than many other things in their lives have.
And we should never forget that, regardless of origins. By the way, there's just a close-up of that circle there, because as you can see, it's laid very interestingly into the hexagons. So it's sort of circular there, but by the time it's got out to here, you've got a hexagonal affair going on, which I think is rather interesting. So I think that formation needs more work done. And by the way, this is the farmer putting up his little collection tin. Now, he obviously didn't expect to make much money, because the collection tin's only that small. Some years you get these huge tanks, don't you? But normally they put them at the end of the sort of field before you get in. This year they were actually placing them bang in the middle, making a real point, you know. If you do go into a crop circle and there is a box, put some money in. Because we need to encourage the farmers. So many of them don't like people going in. So of course they are trying to discourage people. But if somebody does this, then support them, because we want more farmers doing this. And then you haven't got that horrible feeling going into a field knowing you're not meant to be in there, and then somebody comes and shouts at you. You don't need that. Okay, now there's that formation there, and you can see it here in conjunction with two others. So again, it's just a good example of seeing how they sit in the landscape. Now here's a really interesting one. So here we have a formation that appears to be kind of half-finished, really. And I think there's very little other conclusion that you can come to. Now, some have wondered if this is these alleged human circle makers and their plans to prove that they're all man-made, did they deliberately leave this half-finished? Because one of the arguments over the years has been, we don't get half-finished formations very often, now and then. So this is so deliberately left, and it's not particularly a great formation. But however, make of this what you will, something or somebody decided they couldn't leave it like this, and a couple of days later, it got finished. And so there we are. Something decided it had to be finished. I mean, it's a bit of a funny affair, these trilobites or scorpions, goodness knows what they are. Again, like we saw earlier, that sort of South American step pyramid affair going on there. So, you know, when they get added to or changed, there's always controversy. But there's always controversy anyway. And some say, well, is this the same hand as the original bit of it? Or is this something better adding or something worse? Interesting. And we have another example of that effect, I believe, here. Yes, we do. So here we are, Milk Hill, where many famous formations have arrived, 6th of July. This is very nice. Very neat. A lovely sort of emblem, wouldn't it, you know, if it isn't already. And yet, whatever made it decided it wasn't enough, or something else decided it wasn't enough, and a couple of days later, bing, it changed into that. It's a very beautiful formation. It's like a Celtic knot type thing. It's probably not a Celtic knot at all, but you know what I mean. It has that sort of Celtic feel to it. Very beautiful. I mean, obviously you can see the people inside it there giving you an idea of scale. Here we are, rectangles. Now, this looks like a sort of logo or something to me. I've never yet heard if it is anyone's logo, but... back at Stanton St. Bernard, 11th of July, a little bit sort of scraped across, but nonetheless, quite interesting. But I'm sort of waiting to see that turn up as a company logo or something. It has that feel to it, but we'll see. So back to spirals. So they had a night where they did two lots of spirals, and this is really interesting. So here we are at Windmill Hill near Avebury on the 13th of July. Now, spiral is not an easy thing to walk, okay? You may think, oh, it's easy to do a spiral. You try walking in a spiral accurately, it's tricky. So this was the best of the spiral formations, and the same night they made another one, but that was much more wobbly, interestingly. But we can see a shot of this where the people all gather in the middle. Isn't that nice? Look. So, you know, wherever these things are, as has been often pointed out in the past by other researchers, they are sacred spaces. Now, let us never forget that. They create, if you like, cathedrals in the fields, because we've lost our sacred spaces, really. Unless you're a regular churchgoer, you know, yes, historically these ancient buildings and churches are wonderful places to see, but the heart connection, for some people find it hard to make that. And yet these have provided new ones for people. And there's something to that, that, you know, the only thing that we sort of have in our lives to go to for some people are these strange things that arrive in the fields.
Two spirals of different formation. The top one's a double start, isn't it?
Yes, it is, yes. I should have pointed that out. Yes, beg your pardon. Yeah, you're quite right, yes. Which is another little circle too, you can see the difference. However, the same night, we had that. Different formation. Mere. Only it's more wobbly. Interesting, isn't it? So one's kind of like fairly neat as they go, and then one's fairly wobbly. So is it that they have a limited amount of like geometrical perfection energy? Like, oh, shoot, we've run out. I would do one anyway. I don't know. But it raises. Or if you say they're both man-made, what are different teams? And they sent the novices off to one field. I don't know. You know, these are the kinds of things that bend the mind. Or yeah, maybe I'm being too picky. You know. But interesting. This is very nice. I like this. They play with light and shade from time to time. And this is the latest example of that. Back of Stonehenge on the 13th of July. Again, it's a very nice sort of emblem. Triangles. Not the best one we've ever seen, but there we are. Lane End, Hampshire, 14th of July. Sort of triangles within triangles at different angles. I'm sure there's a very good technical term for that, but I don't know it. And another kind of quite nice mandala at Overton, 18th of July. So what we're seeing here is, this is more the kind of stuff we were used to, but you would have noticed, well, if you're used to seeing these every year, there certainly have been, by 18th of July, far less real stonking masterpieces. Definitely down on that this year. You know, you see, they did slowly catch up right at the last minute. But even so, you know, the fact that this was notable is quite interesting. Well, you always have to have an ET face somewhere, don't you? Most years you get one. I mean, who knows? It doesn't mean it's not real. I mean, I'm picking away at some of these here. I'm not saying to you that they're not made by some other force. They may well be. Chartbury Hill, 20th of July. Of course, some people don't like these creatures, the Greys. Some consider them the naughty aliens. Although they can't quite tell you who the good aliens are, but you know. But ET faces certainly are something come back from time to time. As you'll see in a minute, we had a particularly extraordinary one just a few days after this. Dovedale Barrow, back in Lincolnshire again. So Lincolnshire, you know, really took off this year, 20th of July, a bit of yin-yang stuff going on there in the middle. No aerial shot, I'm afraid, of this, but I think we can get the idea there. Another circle, which is sort of sculpted inside, rather interestingly. So this is at Chair Hill, where many have arrived, 20th of July. So you can sort of see this sort of snaky effect here. I think we can see it more closely. There you go. So it's very nice. So within the laid crop, there are patterns. And, you know, you get formations like this every year, of course. I think we can see even closer still. There we are. Nice. Very beautiful. Like water swirling around, flowing together. Nice. Now, this is more what kind of people were waiting for. And so it eventually started to arrive. East Kennet, 22nd of July. Very striking. Very accurate, all sorts of stuff going on there. Note that once again, we've got this sort of step pyramid type business going on here. So that was the recurring theme, if you like, of the year. And I mean, you know me, if you know me of old, I try not to interpret these. But other people, of course, spend all their time interpreting them and they say it's Mayan or it's Sumerian or whatever. Well, maybe, but it's certainly a very, very impressive emblem indeed. Interestingly, if you look very carefully up here, what seemed to be just like a normal ring suddenly goes to like little dots, just goes to like lots of tiny mini circles in a chain there. There's a lot of interesting stuff going on in there. There you can just get an overview of it.
So that's sort of like, oh, thank God for that. You know, we've got the real stuff now. Whatever that means. Roundway, 23rd of July, this very haphazard but very large formation arrived. Quite interesting. Sorts of stuff going on there. I mean, I like the way these two bits here sort of merge into each other, like sort of cells dividing or something. Back to ringed circles. West Kennet, 24th of July. Very similar to the one we saw earlier on. Again, very thin outer ring. And another sort of one with a lot of texturing. So this is at Etchorhampton, 25th of July. So obviously there's all sorts of stuff going on in here, geometrically, over Alan Brown, but he's not here. But you can see around the outside that we have the outer ring laid in what's known as the basket weave style. And that's something that we saw a lot of some years back. And it every now and then comes back. You can just see here, so where crop's been sort of crisscrossed over each other in chunks. So you know, this is something which we like because it's nice to have that sense of that little extra bit going into it. But certainly that was very overt to have it all the way around that external ring there. Here's the one where it's sort of gone all funky and bubbly in one place, but rather nice, I think. I quite like the fact that it suddenly goes off and does something different here. Again, it's got this feeling of like cells, you know, growing in a petri dish or something, a sense of biology about it. Quite like that. And there you can see a little close up on one of the little swirls there. Nice and neat. Not so neat. Alton Barnes, 26th of July. I mean, who knows what's going on here? So it looks interestingly like there's some kind of radial burst effect in the crop there. But I'm afraid I know no more. This is very impressive. Again, so now this is, you're onto the stuff that you would expect for the time of year, but it was a long time coming this time. So back at Windmill Hill, 26th of July, inevitably lots of speculation about astronomical meaning and this, that and the other. I mean, go onto the internet, you'd be there all day. It's amazing what they inspire from people. And that's important. And there we can see a shot looking over the top of it. Very neat. Yeah, good. Very large, as you can see. And this was one of those formations with those sculpted areas. Now, there were less of these last year. Last year, anybody went around the fields, there were loads of formations with these tight, twisty, sort of little knotted bits. They've been sort of, you can see, sort of tied together. But this year, very few formations did that. So this was one of the few that did. Ah, right. Churton, Wiltshire, 26th of July. Now, the eye in the pyramid, or on the pyramid, is of course a famous symbol. And it's a famous symbol because it's considered to be, of course, you know, very Masonic, very secret society. This seems to be an inversion of that. The eye is at the bottom of the pyramid instead of the top. Now, some say symbolically that shifting power back to the people, because traditionally we're at the bottom of the pyramid, you see, and only the illumined ones are at the top. I'll show you what I mean. So there's the usual way you get the eye in the pyramid. Okay. So here's the dollar bill, of course, classic conspiracy conjecture around this. So you have the illumined ones at the top, and we're all down here. But that formation seems to invert it, which I think is rather nice. But this got me thinking. First of all, I'm going to take you back in time briefly. In 2002, we had that as a formation in a very sort of digitised form. So this is something that they've, you know, truly played with before. And then, and this is a little scoop I'm sharing with you, not because it has much to do with the formation, but because it just suddenly dawned on me. When you look at that, and you see the single eye in a sort of faintly sort of triangular mode, I suddenly thought, you know what? That suddenly makes sense of the Olympic mascots. Don't you think this is interesting? If you've not met these, this is Wenlock and Mandeville. They are! That's their names, I promise you.
No, you're having a song.
I wish that I was. No. Right, Wenlock and Mandeville, does anybody know what these are meant to represent?
No.
Funnily enough, you don't know, do you? I'll tell you. What they represent, they're the last molten drops of steel from the last girder used to make the Olympic Stadium. Yeah, it's obvious now, isn't it? But everyone said, why have they only got one eye? Anthropologists said these are rubbish for children. Because they haven't got a face. There's nothing you can relate to. Children relate to faces and expressions. There's no face. And people have been saying, why? And I just suddenly thought, yeah, hey, of course. It's just a classic Illuminati symbol. Interesting, isn't it? And I think, although I'm laughing about it, there's something in that. Don't forget also that, of course, the Olympic logo, and I have no particular axe to grind about this, but if you rearrange the numbers, 2012 and the dot, you get Zion in the perfect rendition. For those of you that are worried about extremist Zionism. So, I don't know, is there again, there's a sort of plot behind this. So that formation with the big eye this year just made me think about that. So there we are. Yeah, I heard it here first. Interesting. This is interesting too. Now you see. Now what do you do? What do you do when you get something like this? So they've got E.T. face again, but he's smoking a pipe. Now can you say that E.T.'s don't smoke pipes? You don't know, do you? Or maybe this is what you see when you smoke one of these kinds of pipes. And the problem we have is it's very well made, this is very neat. So, again, some have said, this is the hoax. Showing you a plainly man-made design, and it's as good as some of the best ones. But others say no. Oh, no. No, there's a hidden meaning in this, because, of course, the real circle makers have a sense of humour. And actually, that's true. I think they do. I think they've deliberately played with us over the years. So that's when you say, well, why not a pipe-smoking alien? Why not? Does that mean it's man-made? It doesn't mean anything, it just means it's sort of weird. So this is, of course, where we start to get into very bizarre territory. More bizarre territory. Now this, you'll remember the rather crude cartoon snake we had earlier on. Well, here, Inkpen, what a lovely name, Inkpen in Wiltshire, 29th of July, we have this huge serpent.
How big was it?
It was sort of very large. I don't know, John's asked to that. Very big. But there's a little sort of snaky tongue there coming out. I think we can see. We get a sense of scale in the shot here, I think. There you go. It's huge. It's really big. Interestingly, strange lights were seen by several people over this field with the formation in it. So a lot of UFO sightings around this design. Now, some say, of course, that the initial cartoon snake was a man-made one, which could well be, but that this was the response of the real phenomenon. Interesting, isn't it? It certainly takes, you know, the serpent idea to a whole new level. And you get UFO sightings as well. So that, I think, is an interesting case. Right, so this is not so interesting, and yet is not without curiosity. Here we are at Silbury, 2nd of August. But you can see it's almost as if a standing ring was initially left, and then it was flattened outwards radially. Rather scrappily done, granted, but interesting. So what they were trying to get at or achieve there, I'm not sure. Bishop's Canning's, 4th of August. Now, again, some have said this is a sort of another play on the E.T. face. If you see this as a sort of an E.T. face, or it's a bit like Gort in The Day the Earth Stood Still. You know the robot? If you don't, go and watch the classic movie. Don't watch the rubbish remake. Watch the original. Very good. So, yes, again, it's almost got a sort of a sci-fi feel to it there. Wayland Smithy, ancient site, of course, Oxfordshire, many formations there over the years, 4th of August. But there was certainly a sense that we were in quite steep decline now with the formations. But as you'll see, there were one or two good surprises. This is possibly my favourite formation of the year. I really like this. Bishop's Canning, 6th of August. So it's like three spheres sunk into, you know, a plate of some kind, a metal plate. I think it's very nice the way it plays with three-dimensional form there. And
I think we can see inside this. It's very, very well made. Beautiful swirls. And you can see also how off-centre they are. So look how off-centre that swirl is. So it comes right out here, but of course it's got a more narrow edge to it there. And you can see there, very, very beautifully laid. So I do like that. And so, I mean, also worth noting here, you know, if you were just to stand in a field and walk round and round, it would just be a fairly basic spiral. But some of the crop flows right out, sort of very wide, splays very wide very quickly, which is an interesting effect. Okay, so here we are, Rockley Down, 7th of August. Do you remember Nationwide? Years ago? Reminds me of the old Nationwide seminar, if that takes you back. Nothing will if it doesn't. All sorts of interesting stuff going on here. Interesting the way the blocks are kind of staggered. It has a sort of a somewhat Mayan quality to it in the middle, which probably means it isn't. Because whenever somebody says, that's Mayan! You will never find a Mayan symbol that remotely looks like that, but that's what we call any symbol we don't recognise now. So that's good enough. Okay, so here's a test. This is nice. This is a diagram on the internet, and look, it's based on a crop circle, and this person has gone off the scale in speculating. They've had an amazing revelation, a download of information, and look, it's showing you. And I'm deliberately showing you it this way around, okay? So here's the diagram they've made of this formation. Look, the interdimensional gate, this is the north pole of the Earth, the rotation axis of Kynon, whatever that is. Planet Kynon, so another lost planet, it's the Eye of Horus and the Earth, and this is amazing. Somebody has sat there and they've had this incredible vision. And then you look at the real formation. And you go, oh. Now, who am I to scoff? Yeah, who am I? Look, that, they saw that, and I saw something that was a bit messy, but it was a bit like you saw the hole in the moon, you know? I saw that, they saw that. But isn't that wonderful? You see, these people scoff at crop circle people, they're missing the point. This person saw that, and it changed their lives. A life has been changed because they saw that, and you should never forget that. So I know I'm being a bit pickety about some of the geometry, but I also recognise that other people will see it through completely different eyes, and I think that's a marvellous thing, and we should never forget that. It's been a gift. So fan blade type affair, again, sort of slightly odd geometrically, but not without interest. Beckhampton, 13th of August, I think we can see that in conjunction with another one, there we go. So then, just over the hedge, as it were, we had this, which we can see properly here. Very neat, very nice, again, very nice lay to it. Has more of an old-fashioned feel to it as a design. But you can see here, it's pretty huge. And I think you can see it in this next one, I particularly like the lay of the crop. Again, look how far this splays out. It's almost radial. So it hasn't just come out like that in a spiral. Look, the crop starts here and goes whoosh, almost right out there to the edge of the ring or the circle. That's not easy to do. It's very beautiful. Very well done. And there's a close-up of one of those little tiny circles in there with the standing centre. So very, very neat. Chehel, Wiltshire, again, all sorts of interesting mathematical stuff going on in the middle here. There's lattice work and more basket weave. That basket weave effect is back, and all sorts of interesting rings. And up here, the elephant symbol. Now, this got called the Ganesha symbol when it first started to appear in the late 90s. And I believe the first formation that had this in it was at Chehel. So this is a deliberate hark back to the formations we were getting there. And it's funny what they called it the elephant, because some people thought it looked sort of like, you know, trunk. Anyway, well, they called it the elephant. Anyway, so here we are, 15th of August. Now that was pretty much the apogee of the phenomenon, because there was then, I believe, after that, oh yeah, you could just get a shot of that in the landscape. There we are. There's the pipe smoking alien. So you can see where that is. There's the monument up on top of Chair. But in fact, apart from this, which is the last formation that I know of today, I've heard a rumour of another one, but I couldn't find any information. Alnwick or Alnmouth, in Northumberland, 28th of August. You can't really see what that is there. So, that was it for the UK. I'll show you the rest of the world now. But it was a funny year, not a disaster. It looked like it was going to be very, very disappointing. And then it picked up. And as you saw, things of interest, things that inspired people, and yet not that punch the air feel that some years give you. Last year was great. Last year, virtually every formation was, you know, virtuoso. This year, a sense that we were being made to face the reality that our expectations have been risen very high over the years. And I think that's the thing. We've got presumptuous, you see. We've begun to think that, you know, we can dictate what this phenomenon does, but actually we can't. No, it's going to do what it wants to do. And as I said to you at the beginning, well, this is either the calm before the storm, and next year we get the best ever, or we're on the run now. 2012 is nigh, and it doesn't need it, because it's like, hey, you know, we're a spent force. We've told you as much as we can really tell you now. As many people are interested now, are probably ever going to be. We're off. I don't know what the truth of it is, but I think what it does next year is going to be very interesting indeed. However, there is a whole planet as well as us here in England, and although it is true we do get the best of the formations, that doesn't mean there's nothing else going on that we shouldn't look at. So let's have a look at a few from the rest of the world. Well, in fact, the year began in Indonesia. In Java in particular, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce the names of these places, so that's why I didn't even put them on the screen. Suffice to say, somewhere in Java, this was back in January, the year kicked off here, in rice paddies. That's in a paddy field. So you can see this was in fact the very first one of the year, then there was a couple of others. Interesting how it sort of crosses different strips of crop. I don't know whether it's the same crop or at different stages or what, I don't know. But you'll see that effect here in this one too. So quite a big sort of pictogram type affair here in Java. And we've had rice paddy formations before, but I've always wanted to see a close-up of one. Luckily, somebody took one. So here we are, here we can see. So these are full of water, remember, these fields. Not the easiest place to come in and make a formation, but still, no, something has managed to create one. So there we go. Now, I've not, before this year, heard of formations in Java, certainly. But, yeah, interesting to see another country waking up. Germany. Now, Germany, over the years, has almost rivaled England for the numbers of formations, and indeed the quality. But last couple of years it's gone quiet. This year only three formations in Germany. Here are all three. Not bad ones, quite interesting ones, but yes, it seems to have gone a bit quiet there in recent times. Belgium, a couple of formations here. That looks very nice and neat. No aerial shots, but you usually get a few somewhere around there. Netherlands, years ago, used to get some quite interesting designs, but we've come down to these sort of slightly knobbly, nothingy sort of things. Most of them seem to be involved with Robert van der Broek, a very controversial figure who you either believe is a bizarre psychic in touch with the circle makers who make circles appear around him. I think all of these are his photographs, for instance. Or he's a fraud. Because a lot of people are very unhappy with some of the claimed photographs of aliens he's taken in his house, which then people have found were sort of like photocopied cutouts from magazines and stuff. So you must make up your own minds. But who knows? Clearly weird stuff has happened there over the years, as Nancy Talbot of BLT Research will testify. Interesting lay in the grass up there. Here we are, Czech Republic. Now, the Czech Republic used to be bursting with formations about 10 or 15 years ago, and it went quiet. But the last couple of years, it's sort of woken up again, so you can see a couple that they've had. A bit like Mickey Mouse said. Hopefully it wasn't. A couple more in the Czech Republic. Again, you know, that marvellous quality that crop circle researchers have. I found a sort of dissertation on the internet about this formation here. Now, you see this line here? Now, I would look at that, and you would probably look at that and say, well, that's where somebody's walked across the crop. Yeah?
They've walked through the field because they couldn't be bothered to go up the tractor line. But no! No, according to one thesis, it is the most important part of the formation. And its lead is showing you energy pouring in to this design. I doubt that it is, but I like the fact that somebody thought of that. The world's a nice place, really, is it? Mexico had formations very early in the year. It's not a good image of it, but that's the best I could find. Slovakia, three little circles in a row. Russia. Sorry, could I ask the lady? I think it's you. You're going to blame you? Yes, it's your head anyway. Thank you. That's so kind of thinking. Russia has had formations, and it's when they get formations in Russia, it's, well, do you know what's really good? It's that the military get really excited. Over here we get a crop circle. Nobody cares. And if the authorities care, they ain't going to tell us about it. But in Russia, in they come. Trucks cordon off the fields, evacuate the villages. Brilliant. Imagine if they did that here, there'd be nowhere to go in Wilshire, would there? Just for these little formations. That's sweet. The USA, I mean, bearing in mind, I mean, you know, just to consolate a debate here, why does England get so many? Why? And yet, I mean, for instance, you know, the USA, with huge fields where anything could be made, they get two maybe a year. This is it. These are the two formations. They claim a third that, I'm sorry, is just a patch of wind damage. So discounting that, these are the two formations that they had. So isn't that weird? What is it that is selecting England? And there are geological correlations. For instance, crop circles love underground water and they love chalk, and we have a lot of that here. But others, of course, think that if this is a build-up to 2012 and all that, that maybe as the eyes of the world are going to be here, we're getting most of the crop circles. That's a very selfish way to look at it, of course. But you have to wonder what's going on. Simon Peter Fuller says England's the heart chakra of the world, remember? That we're special. Maybe. But it is interesting that the USA hardly gets any formation. Now, Italy, on the other hand, has been closest to England over the last few years, out of all of the countries that have had crop circles. Italy, the quality, the number of them, it's had a similar feel. Not so good this year, but still some very interesting stuff. And again, just to bring our attention to things that mean things to people. I mean, I wouldn't really have looked twice at that formation, but again, there's tons of stuff on the net telling us that this is telling us what's going to happen over the next couple of years. Here we are. So we're going to be a big tsunami, followed by a volcano, and an earthquake, and phase three. Brilliant, isn't it? I don't know what any of it means, but isn't it wonderful that people are inspired by this? And of course, this might be exactly how it all worked out. I don't know. However, they did have also this year this brilliant formation. I mean, it's at a place called Perino, probably not pronouncing that, Perino, where last year they had another really wonderful formation, and they did again this year. And that really is quite something. And again, there is so much speculation, but this time, perhaps more rightly, somebody's pointed out that these seem to be binary configurations. That if you take the blank as a 1 and the O as a 0, so you've got binary code. Some have said this strange placing of these standing up little tufts here are stars. There's astronomical data in it. It's certainly a very impressive formation. That there is certainly no doubt whatsoever. So that was the year that was. Okay. And as I say, I personally feel that a kind of a corner was turned this year. And I don't think anybody seriously thought that the phenomena would go on the same forever. Remember that just 25 years ago, all we were getting were circles and rings. So we've come very, very quickly on a curve, a learning curve. We've got used to having these astonishing masterpieces. The thought of losing them is almost heartbreaking for some. But maybe that's okay because we're in new times. We're in new times. And, you know, I do think the whole 2012 thing is really, really interesting. Now, I can, if you want, finish here, or I can give you a little epilogue. Do you want me to finish? Or shall I give you the epilogue?
I've got a new set. Right.
The information where unknown forces strike the edge of ecology.